If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You have to promote yourself extra hard, right? So talking to the recruiter, connecting with the recruiter, don't be afraid to promote yourself.
Now you have to prove that if we're paying you this amount of money, you need to deliver. You have metrics that you have to meet. You can't be flossing on IG or on LinkedIn. I got this $100,000 job, but now all of a sudden, you forget that you have to actually do the work.
You should show recruiters, hiring managers that you're like a student of your craft. Like, these are the things that you're into. This is what I like. This is the type of content I digest, because it lets me know that you're not just a salesperson. Like, you're trying to be the salesperson. And that's what's going to set you apart from just an average LinkedIn profile.
That being said, y'all, I'm very, very excited for the panelists that we have up here right now. And so I'm actually going to be very specific before we jump into it, because oftentimes people could just say, okay, these people are recruiters. But before we get started, we actually want to jump into talking about what kind of recruiters they are specifically, what they recruit for, because that's something we have to get granular to understand what someone specifically does within recruitment, to understand where they're speaking from, and also so that way we kind of specify our questions for them. So we are going to be taking questions during this portion as well. We're going to start with a few different questions with them, and then we're going to open it up for you all to be able to ask questions up here for the panel. So if you could start with your name, even though many people in here know who y'all are already, whether it's from networking or just from social media, LinkedIn, things like that. But you could start with your name and what recruitment you do specifically.
Hey, y'all. So my name is Sinead Urquhart. I'm a recruiter cousin. I'm a technical recruiter. I recruit for software engineers, program and product managers, and cybersecurity professionals. My experience, though, spans from not just the technical space, but I also recruited for entry level, like as low as checking people who check you in when you go to the doctor, what we call at Duke our patient service associates, so the check-in people. I've recruited for patient transport. I've recruited for program coordinators. For those of you who want to get into program management, you can start at the coordinator part of it. So I have an array of experience that I've recruited for.
Hey, you guys.
What's up?
Thank you. My name is Kasmin. I am a recruiter for Carvana. I handle market operations. I also recruited in the healthcare industry as well for nurses, LPNs, entry level roles. So yeah, let's connect.
Yeah. Hey, damn.
I'm laughing because they're like, hello. So my name is Nate Wiley. Currently, I'm a recruiter for startups specifically. I have my own consulting boutique firm. And in the past, I've recruited at Lyft, appliance manufacturers, sports supplements distribution, starting staffing. Within those years, it's really been a little bit of everything. So marketing, tech, operations, project management, all that kind of good stuff. So definitely connect on LinkedIn, Nate Wiley, if you have any questions.
Yo, very grateful for y'all being up here. Grateful for y'all putting your drinks down and being like, okay, cool, we're gonna come up here. And so I know that could be a bit of a struggle sometimes, but y'all were a really great support about it. I'll let you do that, so we'll jump into it anyway. All right, cool. So let's talk about transferable skills. One of the things that I oftentimes see, and I don't see it nearly as much as y'all do, but oftentimes I will see someone who they want to do something in the tech industry or an industry in general, maybe a tech adjacent industry. And they, of course, have done a boot camp or haven't done a boot camp, and they are missing out on transferable skills. So one, I would love if one or two of you can speak to what transferable skills are, which is a simple thing to explain, but if you can explain that. But then also give examples of someone who, okay, this industry, and how you can leverage those transferable skills and or domain expertise as well. So if you could speak to that, please.
Wow. So essentially, transferable skills, of course, is if you're looking to make a jump into a different industry or a different company altogether. So what am I currently doing? What is my day-to-day? Like, what skills or sort of what are those characteristics of my role that I can apply to another position that honestly, at the surface, maybe may not make sense, but underneath it, it's like, okay, I'm actually doing this, it's just called something different. And so really being able to not only dissect, you know, a job description of the role that you're targeting, and then being able to match that to what you're currently doing and kind of being able to pick and pull. Honestly, at the end of the day, as a recruiter, we're really looking for, you know, an apples to apples match. And that's what a hiring manager wants to see as well. Like, this person has done this, has been successful in doing this, and can do this here. And so the better you can tell that story, which is not easy, I think that's where a lot of people get tripped up. They just look at something on the surface level, like, oh, I'm applying to this project coordinator. I coordinate stuff all the time. And they don't really go into the details of how it actually applies and how you can be successful in a new role that may be titled something different. In my experience, one of the best things you can do is not only be able to spell that out very succinctly and concisely on your resume, but find you a champion at that company and be able to convince them that you can do this role, and then have them speak for you internally is a good way to try to pivot into something else.
So I'm going to give you the difference between transferable skills and direct skills, and hopefully it'll help you understand the what transferable skills actually are. So to piggyback what Nate said, transferable skills on your resume is something that you may not be in the job specifically, but you have a function of that job that you're trying to go into. So let's say, for example, you want to be a program manager, but you're actually I don't know, a UX designer or a product manager, and you're a UX designer. One of the things that you want to look for, sometimes hiring managers will look for, is if you want to be a product manager from a UX or a UI designer, the idea is you may have some product sense or product ownership within the function of being a UX researcher or a UI, UX researcher, UI researcher, or engineer. The idea behind that is if you understand the research and the product and the customer facing aspect, the drive for results, the customer obsession aspect of your job, that is exactly transferring into a product manager, because in the user experience, you're looking for the product itself that's going to help streamline the business as a whole. That is exactly what a product manager does. In addition to that, if another example could be if you want to get into recruitment, what's transferable into recruitment, honestly, whether y'all know it or not, is sales. Because we are selling, I hate to say we're selling humans, but we're selling, I hate to say that, but we are. We're selling candidates to the hiring leader and trying to convince the hiring leader that what they cannot see in our applicant tracking system that we can see, you all are the best and an ideal fit for this particular role that they've given us based on what's on the job description. We're also building relationships with you, so when you're not in the room, I'm going to my hiring leader and I'm saying, me and Shimon been talking for however long. She has experience in this, and this. We built a relationship over time. Hiring leader, since you trust me, you really should think about talking to her, and then you decide on whether you want to interview her later. It's being able to take the information that you have as a function of the current job that you have, even if it's not the direct title, and being able to literally transfer that function into the title that you actually want to be. The apples to apples or direct experience that Nate is talking about is that literally direct experience that a hiring manager is looking for. So if you are a product manager from one product manager, literally, or technical product manager to another technical product manager is literally the same. So you have hiring leaders who are interested in the transferable skills, but you also have hiring leaders that is really hard to sell transferable skills when they're looking for apples to apples.
All right, so let's get a little deep. So I'm sure we are all aware that affirmative action has come to an end, it's come to a close, and DEI initiatives, company to company, have been shrinking.
Let's get into it.
And shrink. Let's talk about it.
Let's get into it.
Now, so it's been shrinking and shrinking. Nevertheless, there are plenty of companies that are still hiring, some mass hiring, like, you know, T-Mobile, shouts out to Trey, and other companies. What have you all seen? Because you all are behind the scenes, you're in the mix, you see things. How do you see this impacting Black and brown people, women, those people that are new to this industry, in this space, that are novices? How do we see this impacting people? But more importantly, what's a suggestion or word of advice do you have as to how people can pivot or make adjustments and move?
So coming from being in leadership for DEI in my previous company, I see this not with just my company, but just general companies that I connect with. You have to promote yourself extra hard, right? So talking to the recruiter, connecting with the recruiter, don't be afraid to promote yourself. I have talked to plenty of candidates who are like, they get in touch with the recruiter and they're scared to say like, hey, I got these soft skills, or I know I can do the job, but I'm afraid of my skin color. Me being who I am, I'm going to push my candidates to the fullest. I'm going to have those tough conversations with the leaders, whether they like it or not, on a respectful level, of course. But just don't be afraid to promote yourself. And make sure you have those honest conversations with recruiters, no matter how hard it is.
So I think what's hard about what Cyrus asked is, it's if these things are going away, we're literally back to ground zero. The idea behind how I take the approach is, it's literally, I'm gonna hold hiring managers accountable before they even have the opportunity to not be accountable. Mm-hmm. So for when I meet with my hiring leaders, I have this thing for some reason where my hiring leaders will say, Shanae, by the way, I want diversity. And I'm like,
by the way.
Like, y'all must have been talking to each other, because y'all know I'm going to hold you to the fire when it comes to that. And I'm not afraid to say that, because we all know we want to increase representation in any company that we work for. What's hard for Black and brown people, I think what's difficult is, I think all of us can attest to this, Black and brown people, I've learned, we have the most imposter syndrome of any class of people that I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's true.
And like, and it's interesting, because I'm just like, we be ratchet on TV, but when it comes to like certain companies and really selling yourself in a professional sense, it like we don't know how to do it, and I don't know why. So my challenge to people, or my what I hold myself to, is trying to get all of us as Black and brown people to understand that we can be ourselves, we can be ratchet, we can be great, but we also, this is not code switching, we also have to be able to take that ratchetness and transition that into confidence. Yep. When you're talking to people who have the bag that you need in order to, like last night, we were talking to Hillman and Troy and the other people who can invest in your companies. We need to be able to speak to our skill set so we can convince other people that we are literally as great as we think we are. Yeah. I've had candidates come to me and say, Shanae, I want to make $100,000. And I go, okay, what in your resume tells me that you deserve $100,000? And they'll immediately either get offended, they're annoyed, or they literally go blank. And it's not for me, it's not to judge you in any way. It's for me to hold you accountable that if you want to make a certain amount of money, you being offered that money does not stop at the offer. Now you have to prove that if we paying you this amount of money, you need to deliver. You have metrics that you have to meet. You can't be flossing on IG or on LinkedIn, I got this $100,000 job, and now all of a sudden you forget that you have to actually do the work. So So I do hold people accountable to the DEI aspect, but I also have to hold us accountable that if we're going to, if we are fighting for these things, we need to show up.
Exactly.
And we don't.
Exactly. Yeah, that was good. And I mean, by show of hands, I know some people just came today, and some people missed the what's the pitch portion, but by show of hands, how many people got to see when Hillman was critiquing, really all the panels, but when Hillman was critiquing the businesses? Now, I don't know if it did the same thing for you all that it did for me, but something like that is really important to see that, you know, I gave Hillman his flowers, I gave the panelists and people their flowers but Hillman and several others, they are giants in the tech industry. And I've been in places and in rooms where there are not a lot of people that look like the majority of us in there, and they are like huge fans of Hillman. And watching him and Sherman, who was one of the panelists of Sherman is someone who most of you don't know him. He's actually like a ghost. He doesn't exist. He has no digital footprint. But Sherman has made a lot of huge waves and moves in the tech industry. He's been a CTO for a few different companies. He sold his stake in a few different companies. Sherman is the person that inspired me to get in tech, because we were working together, and I told someone I had this idea for an app business, something in a faith-based community, and then someone introduced me to him. And then after we got to know each other and I saw all the money he was making, because he was just bankrolling stuff, I would say, oh man, we have to find a way for us to raise, you know, $5,000 so we can do this thing. And he was like, bro, what? He says, dude, I'll take care of that. Like, and I'm like, he was just throwing money. But I never saw him working, but he was working. He was working though. He was having other people do the work for him, basically. But we ain't gonna talk about that, that's a whole other thing. But anyway, he turned down one of the things we talked about briefly last year, and this episode is on the Texas New Black podcast, so you all can watch and see it. We talked about how he turned down an opportunity from Tesla. He didn't just turn down an opportunity. They reached out to him, offering him something like $120,000. And this is pre-COVID. So they're offering him $120,000, but they wanted him to move out to San Francisco, and he just straight up, he responded and said, no, if I'm going to move out there, you need to pay me at least $200,000. And then they responded back and said, okay, well, this is a great opportunity. This is Tesla, Elon Musk, blah, 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 all that stuff. And they said, yo, are you willing to do it for $160,000 and this and this and this? His next response was, he said, I told you $200,000. He said, respectfully, do not email me again unless it's at least $225,000. He's like, I feel like you're playing with me. And then they emailed him back and you know, all of those things. But seeing that was something that I, you know, again, this is before I was in the tech industry. This is before I was in the space. I had never, like, I shuddered. I was like, first of all, that's so much money. At the time, I was like, that's so much money. But then secondly, that level of confidence was something I had never seen. You know, when it comes to this space and this industry, I had never seen anything like that before. But I want to speak to that point with obviously Hillman, Sherman, and others. But also I want to highlight, going back to what Shanae said, where they are about their business. They are efficient. They get things done. And so I love so much Shanae, you sharing that, and also you bringing up Hillman, because that moment last night I thought was really, really phenomenal. Yeah. And I was like, yo, if anything, I'm like, this is what I want us to see. Mm-hmm. I want us to see how we can move in that confidence, that ratchet, transitioning our ratchetness to that confidence in this space. And yes, I appreciated that so much, so very much. Mm-hmm. Now, one question, make sure you all are, anyone that has any questions that you are ready, that you have your question prepared, we're about to transition after this to the questions. So when it comes to LinkedIn optimization, because one thing that I usually see is people will say that they're applying to companies, they're reaching out to hiring managers, recruiters, and others, but I'll look at their LinkedIn, and now, I'm gonna be real, people come to me and they always ask me to look at their resume. They're like, look, show me your resume.
They're laughing at me, because I'll just be like, y'all LinkedIn sucks. Yeah. I'll be like, y'all LinkedIn is terrible, it sucks.
So, can we just talk a little bit about LinkedIn? What are some things that you see that are off, where it's like, yo, just some adjustments and things that people can make on their LinkedIn? And I know that's a very, we could sit here probably for 2 hours and talk about that. But what are some things individually that irk you or that just kind of move you where you're like, man, just have this, have that, make these adjustments here? And it's something I would love for each of you to speak to.
Shanae Irker be irked, right? Lord have mercy, babe, thank you for that last name, because I appreciate you. So I'll tell you two things. I'll tell you one thing that bothers me and one thing that I think people do well. So I'll start with the thing that people do well. We're gonna sandwich this thing. So one of the things that people do well is they actually want to know how to actually optimize their LinkedIn.
right? I love the idea that people want to know if they realize I'm not getting the hits or the responses or all of that. So the fact that you reach out and you ask and you've told us all the things that you've done and now I'm at a wall and I need help, that's a difference from people who go, Shanae, Kasmin, Nate, here's my resume, what you got? Like, that is the most annoying thing in the world. So what you all do well is you have some type of structure, right? The structure is you understand that you started your LinkedIn. Now all I need to understand is, what am I missing? A lot of people that I've come across their LinkedIns, they'll have everything listed out and kind of optimized on their LinkedIn, and the only thing that they're missing is the recommendation section on their LinkedIn. I cannot stress enough for y'all to turn on the pull out your phone to turn on the recommendation section right now, because and the reason for that is because what you may not know is recruiters will look at that recommendation section not necessarily for content, but they'll look at to just see if it's there. Like, just to see if people say great things about working with you. And one of the things that I do is when I look at it, I look to see how long it's been since somebody wrote you a recommendation. Because you should never stop getting feedback, and you should never stop scaling, and you should never stop making impact. So if the last time I saw a recommendation from you was in 2020, that to me, you ain't made impact in 4 years. You ain't had nobody write you a recommendation in 4 years. For me, that's an issue. So I would challenge you all to constantly ask people to write you recommendations, whether that's someone that you report to, whether it's someone you work alongside with, if you help someone in their career. I've asked Kasmin to write me a recommendation before. I asked my own husband to write me a recommendation. If you go on my LinkedIn, you'll see more than 100 recommendations, and that's because I need people to see what I'm good at. Because you're only an expert based on the things that you've been able to deliver for others. So if you can deliver and you can become a subject matter expert, that should show up on your recommendations. Now, on the other side, the irking part is when you all start a LinkedIn and then you go, okay, I'm not getting no hits, and I'll go where there's nothing on your LinkedIn. There is no picture, there is no about section, there is, if you do have the experience is like company and position, and that's it. And then you don't have any not just transferable skills, but any direct skills that you do in your current job in your skill section. So for me, is people will create their LinkedIn and then they'll leave it and they won't finish it. So that's the hard part. It's being able to take something that you created, finish it, be consistent with it, and then in your activity section, if I look at your activity section, I should see you posting or reposting or commenting on something at least once a week. I'm not asking for every day. Some of us who probably have time to do it every day, I'm not asking for every day, but I'm asking for at least once a week. That tells me you use your LinkedIn. If you have connections, have at least 500 connections. Even if it's 501, that's fine. It's not saying that it's a make or break if you have less than 500, but I've learned that having at least 500 tells us that you actually use it. Sorry. My bad.
Okay, so one thing that I irks me. She took mine. So when LinkedIn page, you come into recruiter and you're like, hey, I need my LinkedIn page updated, but you haven't touched it in 2 years. You haven't done anything, you haven't posted, you haven't updated your jobs, you haven't updated your skills, nothing, but you want me to come in to fix it. I need you to do the work so that I can come in and sprinkle my little dust and help you to be successful. One thing that I truly love that you guys do is come into my inbox and say, hi Kasmin, can you help me with this? I have came across so many individuals in Arizona who will come up to me and like, hey, I connected with you on LinkedIn, can you do this? Or I need you to do this. I'm sorry, you need me to do what? Yeah, no, that's not how it works. So make sure you update your LinkedIn page, post like she said, at least once a week. Don't be afraid to reach out to people. All it takes is just a little greet, hi, introduce yourself, make those connections. But yeah, update your LinkedIn page, y'all.
Let's see what's left. No, they covered a lot of the great points. So for me, I love checking a person's LinkedIn. Again, it's like checking someone's Instagram profile, right? Like it's living, it's moving. Like I want to know what you've been up to. You know, what kind of things are you commenting on? What are you posting? What's your opinion on how, you know, AI is disrupting your industry or whatever the case may be? The little things I look for, again, like a picture, a good picture, not a cropped, you know, you was in a wedding, something, and it's kind of like, so a good picture, a banner that isn't like too busy, that's very clean. Then I work my way down, a good about me section that speaks clearly to what it is that you've done, what you're looking for, the type of person that you are. And then of course, having those details in your experience section of what it is that you've actually done at those companies and the impact. Having the company there, having your title there, the years, of course, that's like the bare minimum. Like if you don't tell me what you did, then it's really no point in me looking at it. I tell people all the time, for whatever reason, sometimes if your company logo isn't there, like their little gray box is there, usually you just need to refresh that. But again, that's just, it's off-putting. Like I look at it and I see, so you're not really keeping this up. This isn't something that you're paying attention to. And then I also like to focus on, again, like you can save sort of those documents or like certain podcasts and YouTube. Like when I was helping people optimize their LinkedIn, you should show recruiters, hiring managers that you're like a student of your craft. Like these are the things that you're into. This is what I like. This is the type of content I digest. Because it lets me know that you're not just a salesperson. Like you're trying to be the salesperson. And that's what's going to set you apart from just an average LinkedIn profile. But it is a very, for me, like it's a defining factor. Like if you send me a good resume and I go to your LinkedIn and it's just like trash, like just bare minimum, it's tough. It's tough because it's easier for me to really sell you to a hiring manager if I can just send a link like, hey, talk to this great person, check them out. And they can go there and they can be as easily as impressed. Because then what they'll also see is like, oh, I'm actually connected to this person. Oh, is it? I mean, it kind of just starts sort of a domino effect of you already getting some wins in before you even get an interview. And that can just speak, you know, a lot louder than what's on a resume to me personally. Like I would tell people, make sure you're LinkedIn, because you can also download your LinkedIn as a PDF and use it as your resume. And I promise you, it'll be just as impactful if you crafted a good LinkedIn profile. So you don't necessarily have to duplicate it, but it should also be, again, like a living page. Like as you think of new things, as you you know, accomplish new certifications, whatever, like you can continually like update it. And honestly, what frustrates me is, y'all like just copy somebody else. Like it's so easy. Like you can see everybody else's LinkedIn profile. Like, I think that's what bothers people and why they don't do it. Like, oh, I gotta do this, do that. You can literally go to the person who held your job at your company and see how they spoke about what they did. Like, how do they speak about their experience? They're about me. And I'm not saying like just copy it word for word, but it'll give you like a great structure as in like, hey, this looks good. Yeah, don't be stupid now. Like don't just copy and paste it if you didn't do that. But like, it's a great template for you to follow. You know, images that you see or pictures or podcasts, like all that kind of stuff, and just kind of keep you, I like to keep a little like folder on my desktop. I'll take like a screenshot of like, oh, I like that. I like how they use that picture, or I like the way they describe that role, especially like head of talent positions. Oh, I love the way they describe how they use data. Like I want to use that later on if I want to update mine. And so you should constantly be looking to, honestly, where you can like steal ideas to make yourself look better. And all the great steel, so don't feel bad about it.
One more thing. So if you haven't heard of it, LinkedIn Learning, that's a good tool to use as well if you need some tips on how to update or revamp your LinkedIn page. I know that do calls, so you can also Google, and YouTube is free, so definitely use your resources.
And I wrote a LinkedIn template. Y'all need it. So I actually wrote a template on how to write your LinkedIn.
If you're looking to break into tech, scale in your tech career, or get networking, collaboration, resources, and more, I have something huge for you. Tech is the New Black is the largest tech career platform in the world. We've helped over 1,000 people break into six-figure tech careers and even more scale. But now we're taking it even further with our Techpreneur Discord community. This community offers high-level networking and collaboration with tech leaders, tech recruiters, and more through events, private streams, and daily group conversations. And if you're looking to break into tech, we don't just have all of the trainings and resources that you need, but we actually have partnerships with different companies that are hiring from within our community. So no matter your goal and your career, income, or business, the Techpreneur community was made for you. So text us at 404-519-2851 or just hit the link in the description to join.
So we're about to transition to questions that you all have. Well, one thing I do want to say, I should have said this earlier, really should have said this yesterday. Any pictures or anything that you've taken or videos, if you can tag Tech is a New Black, we definitely appreciate that. And so that way we can repost it and highlight those of you that have been at the event. So we'll go ahead. You go ahead.
One of the biggest issues that I had in my space is, I mean, you want me to stand there?
You want me to stand there?
Hello, my name is Cynthia. So as I was saying, I'm in Global Medical Affairs. Within Global, we sit over US, Canada, APAC, and EMEA, EMEA being European and Africa. I've had many conversations within my company where we talk about certain initiatives, but initiatives, even when you talk about diversity and inclusion, always excludes the A, so I always say the A silence. Now, in my own right, I have tried my possible best to speak about, hey, can we do this initiative in A when we talk about market access, but it has been always met with, for lack of a better word, what she talking, like, it's not what she's talking about, but why is she disturbing us with this? Yeah. And it comes to a space where you start losing confidence in yourself, you're actually scared you lose your job because you're speaking and you're pushing more. I spoke about, you know, emerging markets, saying, okay, how about if the A is an emerging market that I could possibly put together a job role, but that, of course, again, is excluded because they look at you from a black and brown where you don't have experience. So we say with, sorry, there's any Caucasian person here?
there's a few. We got Ben Tan in the back.
From my perspective, we say that with Caucasian people, even though they don't have the experience, they're given the opportunity to learn a job. With black and brown people, you have to have the experience plus 20 more years to learn that experience. So it's not met. So my question is, knowing what you're passionate about, even if it's a company that doesn't have a role, and you know what you want to do, you know the impact you can bring forth with regards to that role, or maybe another company, i.e. like Microsoft, how do you put together, I don't want to say job description, but how do you present a particular role, a case, I can't really get the word in my head, but a case study, whatever, to say, hey, here's the issue, here is the gap that we're seeing. I have the experience and I have the passion and I want to be able to bring this into your company or my company to sort of push and lead it. So I think that is my question. I have lost confidence because within my company, it's like you get shut down. But I want to go into a space that does that, and how do I present? So hopefully that's long enough.
That's a good question.
So
the way you create your own position with companies that are already reputable and they already have compliance standards and procedures that they have to follow is consulting. So for me, that was the first thing that I could think about is if you can't directly create a position in a company that already has its own kind of processes, the way they work, and big companies like that, like you mentioned, I'm not saying it because I am not speaking on behalf of the company. Any big company that you mentioned like that already has everything set out in their OFCCP laws and all of that. So it's hard to create something like that when they have to follow the law. That said, the easiest way to do that is become a consultant, either consulting with the company and kind of create your own business in that, or they may have consulting related positions within what you're talking about, and where you may have the autonomy to expand your job duties outside of what you were directly hired for. So for me, as a recruiter, I was directly hired to land, to bring people into the company, make offers, have them accept the offer, and then they become my colleague. I've expanded my role a little bit with being able to, let's say for example, speak at an ERG or an ERG related function, or become a lead in one of our ERGs. That's not a part of my job description, but I've been able to expand in that right. I would say find, that's the first thing I can think of, is finding a consulting role where you have the autonomy to expand in that way and then be able to make the job your own. Anybody
else? Taylor.
Sorry, so I
want
to be able to let the virtual people speak.
Okay, cool.
You want me to move it around?
No, you're totally fine.
Okay, I'm great.
I didn't know what you was doing at first. I was like, okay, cool.
Hold this mic.
I love her. I absolutely love her. She's so funny.
Okay. So, question number one, they want to know, who do we talk to about getting into cyber security, cyber resolution positions? What would be the first point of contact for that? Or who would be the first point of contact for that?
I recruit for that. All right, I recruit for cyber security related roles. So, the one thing I found that's really difficult to all the virtual people is that it is hard to get an entry-level role within cybersecurity without a degree. I found that very difficult. It's not impossible, it's just harder. Because you're competing with people who have either gone to school and then tacked on an internship, and then they got an entry-level role based on that internship and based on that kind of experience. But then, Where I find the issue, though, on the other side is when people don't know what they want to do with their cybersecurity. It's the same thing as when people don't know what they want to do in tech. So we get messages all the time that'll say, how can you help me find an entry-level tech job? And I go, okay, where? Where? Because that's the umbrella. It's the same thing as cybersecurity. Cybersecurity is also an umbrella. Yeah. So my response to that would be, is it red team, blue team, purple team, offense, defense? Is it four areas of cybersecurity? Assurance, engineer, research, operations, right? If you want to understand where you want to land, you need to understand what within those four areas you want to land. Then, do you want to be red team, blue team, purple team, offense, defense? Like I would actually ask those questions to help to probe you a little bit on where you want to go. That said, I found that it is a little bit more difficult if you don't have a degree because you're competing with people who do. It's the same thing as when you go to a software engineer boot camp, and it's not impossible to become a software engineer after you've gone to the boot camp because I've seen people do it, but they're competing with people who have the computer science degree, the math degree, the statistics degree, and any tech-related position. What makes it difficult is when you have cybersecurity and then you have software engineering, but then you're applying to big tech roles or you're applying to medium-sized tech roles, competing with the people who went to school to actually do it. So it's not impossible, it's just harder. So what you would have to do is, you would have to tell everybody this, whatever you're doing now, ask your manager if you can shadow the tech department. And then see where within the tech department is the security part of it. And then see, based on the security part, what do they do? Do they prevent hackers? Are they all hands? I would do that to understand how to break into cybersecurity. After I network and do that, I would then ask for more cross-functional projects that helps me transition into that security space. By then, you can put all of that on your resume, and then you can tie all of that into possibly fully transitioning into the security part of your company, and then hopefully getting more cybersecurity projects.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thank you so much for that, Shanae. There's a couple more questions, and this is open to the panel, of course. They want to know, what online resources do you all recommend to keep up with technology advances?
Some loaded questions. And it's the internet. So. Again, I'm all about being very intentional and making sure that you're putting your time in the right places. That's going to move you to that next step. Oftentimes, myself included, we get caught up on the big picture and where we want to end up. And we just want to, you know, transport ourselves there, where there are a lot of little steps in between. And so if you want to move into a completely different industry, if you want to be a cybersecurity analyst or whatever it may be, you really need to do a self-assessment of, okay, what do I know today? If that's nothing, then you need to start with, all right, I need to know the bare minimum fundamentals of cybersecurity. Someone contacted me once before, and I can't remember what kind of job he was working. I'm like, why don't you apply to the Apple Store? Like, why don't you just at least get into that realm in some way? Because right now what you're doing is completely, you know, left field of where you're trying to go, and nothing you're doing today is helping you move in that direction. And so as far as like any sort of online courses, I took actually like a career hacking course on Udemy because that's what I was trying to get into. Like, I wanted to make sure I fully understood sort of the techniques and strategies behind like how to hack your career. And so Udemy would be a good one. Of course, YouTube is always there. Course Careers, of course, is there. It's really endless. Like, I don't want to sit here and just start naming everything off, but yeah, you need to like sit down and really like write down your plan. Like, what is it that you're trying to do? And a lot of that starts with, again, what do you know today? What would be your next step? And also a very fundamental part is, what does your money look like? Like, how much time do you have to invest into, you know, trying to educate and learn and develop? And is that going to take away from, you know, being able to pay bills and that kind of stuff? Yep. All of that matters a lot. Like, you can't just drop everything you're doing because you have this big dream, or at least I wouldn't. To each his own. But I've always been like, okay, I'd rather spend a little bit more time getting to my end goal or trying to make some progress versus like, no, I heard, you know, so-and-so had to sleep in their car. I'll do that. I'm not. Like, I am not right. Doing that. Like, I will do what I have to do and work jobs that I don't want to have to work. And that may mean sacrificing some sleep. That may mean, you know, cutting out on, you know, brunches and happy hours and all that kind of stuff. There's time there. So you just have to figure out how to allocate that in order to make sure that you're actually moving in the right direction and that you're actually seeing some progress. But I would tell the virtual community and everyone else, you should really have a very well thought out plan and share your plan with someone in the position that you're trying to get to, and they can help you understand, okay, I wouldn't do this. Okay, this doesn't make sense. This is out of order. You should tackle this first. You should work on saving this amount first. This course costs $3,000. Do you have that? Can you afford to spend that? And so if you can map all that out, like, that will help you understand which courses are best for you.
Great stuff. That's good. We'll do two more questions. We'll do one from the virtual community and one from up here.
Okay, this is the last question from the virtual community.
All right, cool.
How do you all believe that AI will innovate tech jobs? And it's open to whoever.
I get that question all the time.
There's a lot of little questions.
Yeah. You want to start? Okay. So, how does AI
gonna impact tech jobs?
Impact tech jobs. So, I think AI is going to help us make our jobs a little easier. So work smarter, not harder type thing. But I also think that, because the question also to that is, will AI replace some jobs, right? I don't think AI will replace some jobs. I just think that the people who don't know how to use the advances will be replaced. So how will it impact tech jobs? It will impact tech jobs to me by catching certain things quicker, making certain things a little bit more easier in terms of like if you need to write a speech, ChatGPT, write me a speech on this. Like literally making our lives easier. That's just a high level answer, because AI is gonna do a lot of things, and it's difficult to figure out this is the answer to that AI related question, because AI is always growing. So I would just say it's just gonna make our jobs easier.
Yo, so for everybody that's interested in what this guest is talking about, and you would love a similar career, I suggest you check out Course Careers Bootcamp. Course Career is a boot camp that I have been partnered with for well over a year now, and they have helped more people break into tech, I'll be honest, than any other boot camp that I've personally seen. So look, Course Career is only $500, that's it. But if you use our discount code, Cyrus50, you'll get an additional $50 off. So that way all you pay is actually $449. That's it, no additional price later, no extra costs, extra fees. That's it with the price for Course Careers. Now, they're a self-paced bootcamp that you can take and be able to get a variety of different roles in tech. So make sure you check them out. Use our link below in that discount code if you want an additional $50 off, and keep us posted on your journey breaking into tech.
All right, so we got a few questions. A few people got questions. Yes. Dang, it's a whole bunch of them.
Let's go through all of them.
You said what?
Let's go through all of them. I ain't got
enough time. Make y'all
way
to the front.
Get up.
All right, so yes.
Eric said get up.
No, you
you just wait until everybody's right
there. Eric said, I ain't doing this with y'all today.
Hello, everyone. Monique from Toronto. My question is, you talked about having a great resume. You have talked about having a great LinkedIn page. Getting the interviewing, interview, and then speaking about yourself, because that's things is my downfall. I can try to get the rest of it all together, but when I get into a room and just start to speak about myself, I completely become a different person.
Sure.
Like night and day.
Sure.
So even though we have all those tools, even using you guys as resources, how do we get to the point of selling ourselves in the interviews? Because the resume can say one thing, but I can't speak about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my first question would be, are you lying on your resume? That's the first question I would ask somebody. If you can't speak to what you put on your resume, I would ask, are you lying? Right? Because if you're lying, that means you can't speak to the skills that's listed on your resume, which will be caught in your interview. That's number one. Number two, do you like yourself?
Yes.
Right. If you like yourself, there is no way someone should ever convince you otherwise. You like you. Right? Those, as foundational and as simple as they may sound, I understand that they're complicated when you get into a room and you have to convince people that you are the right person for this particular role. So I would switch your mind from convincing interviewers that you are the right person to you already being convinced. Now I just need you to agree. Mm-hmm. Right? Because every single time I talk to somebody, I am convinced that I know what I'm talking about. What y'all never understand is most of the time, I don't even know if this shit makes sense. Like, we're rep. I tell my husband all the time, to me, this just sounds like common sense to me. So when y'all have then deemed me an expert, I'm like, where'd that come from? That just, I ain't got no data. I ain't got none of that. The idea is, I already know what I'm talking about because I was a job seeker for so long. Now, all I got to do is convince you of the same thing.
Yeah.
So all you need to do is be convinced and just have people agree.
Love
it. As simple as that may sound, I know that's hard, but then you mock interview. Yeah. And your mock interview coach will tell you where what you need to say, where you need to say it, the examples you need to have off the top of your head, and then you transitioning from being drilled to just having a conversation.
Same thing Shanae said, definitely do mock interviews. Have confidence in yourself. I was that individual. I was scared to be in front of a room, have that conversation. But just look yourself in the mirror, because you know you can do it. You know you can. You do the job. So just build that confidence in yourself, and you got it. Practice. Go to someone that you trust, that you can be open and honest with. But yeah, you got it.
Mm-hmm. I'll be quick. If I were you, like, I don't know what kind of jobs you're interviewing for. First of all, kind of switch your perspective, right? If you're getting the interview, you should be excited. Like, mm-hmm. that's first thing. That's why I tell people, like, oh, I'm so nervous. Like, how else you going to get to the job if you don't do the interview mm-hmm. part? So you should really start to look forward to interviews. And again, like, just get better at it and prepare. It's good that you know you're very self-aware. Like, that's, you know, one of your downfalls. But the way to sort of alleviate some of that is in very sort of thorough preparation and kind of being able to break down, like, is it every question that you're kind of falling apart on? Or is it sort of like some of the more technical complex pieces? Are you stumbling over the more general, tell me about yourself? But really being able to break it down and figuring out, okay, like, this is where I really have some issues. And then what you can do is just start to figure out, like, what are, you know, what's going to be my first response when they ask questions in this realm? And something I tell people a lot that they don't do is, you're not in a hostage situation. Like, if they ask you something, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're in the wrong mindset. And so if you could get in the space to where you can ask them, like, okay, great question. Can you clarify? Are you talking about A or B? You know what I'm saying? Like, let them know that you know what you're talking about. Like, oh, well, we're actually talking about B. Okay, I've actually done B. Blah, blah, blah. Like, it kind of will help you get a little bit more control over the situation. I think they'll probably, it's probably a lot of nerves involved as well. So just practice preparation and, like I say, going into it with a lot more confidence, I think that'll help out.
Thank you. This is one thing I tell all of my engineering and all of my kickoff calls. This is what I tell my software engineers. There's a difference between nervous and anxious. It's okay to be nervous because that means you care. You clearly want this job. It is not okay to be anxious. Nervousness means you care. Anxiety means you're scared. You ain't scared of nobody. Okay.
First, I just want to take a quick moment to say Cyrus and Tech Team Black, thank you for having me. Panelists, thank you for being here and providing the space for us. My name is Jasmine Hamill, I go by Jazz. My question is in regards to mentorship. So for a lot of us that are here, I know we're just, sorry, a lot of us that are here are trying to break into tech. Some of us may already be in tech, and some of us might be stagnant. And I feel like we come to these events and we tune into webinars and we follow you guys looking for advice and tips and tricks on how to advance. And I feel like a lot of that can go a lot farther. We talk
That's
about
being
smarter and not harder.
Just
finding mentorship. And so my question is, what is your advice to finding the right mentor, seeking mentorship, knowing whether that's right for you? And then the two part is, do any of you offer mentorship? Thank you.
Hi, Jazz.
Hi.
Okay, so this is crazy because Shanae is actually my mentor. So we literally met on LinkedIn.
She stalked me.
I did. Not gonna lie. I was,
right. But it worked. Right.
It worked.
Sometimes you gotta do it.
It worked. I would just say just reach out to someone that you are really like really interested in. You love what they're doing, you love what they're posting. And if it's something that you're wanting to get into, definitely just reach out to them. Shanae was very open and honest. She provided great feedback, so definitely be open to that. But yeah, just connect with them. Like, literally, just start a conversation and ask them if they are open to mentorship, because of course it is a lot, but just connect with them. It's start off with a conversation. That's it, I promise. You got it, girl.
You're welcome.
I would say a mentor doesn't have to be your official mentor. They don't have to actually say, yes, I'll be your mentor. Casual, I must have been her mentor for well before I said I'd do it. Like, she was like, just let you know, you're my mentor. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know that. But I've heard people say that. I've heard people say, Shanae, you're my mentor. And I'm like, girl, we ain't never even talked. But okay, I'm with it. So the idea is you don't necessarily have to have someone that will officially say, this is, I guess I will be your mentor. If you trust their advice and it worked for you for however long it's worked for you, then great. I want you to be open to, you're gonna have different mentors throughout your career. And you're gonna have different mentors at every stage, right? So there's gonna be a difference between when you actually get the job, a difference between a mentor and a sponsor. You want both. So your mentor is going, the mentor is your venting person. That's the person that if you need to say F these people, that's who you go to. The sponsor is going to see everything about your work and advocate for you to the leaders when it's time for promotions and bonuses and all of those things that you need. And so you need those two things. When it comes to mentorship, it's important because I have a mentor at my current job. I have a recruiting mentor outside of job. Y'all hear me talk about Danita a lot. Danita's my mentor just in life and in recruiting. I have a company mentor, but then I also have big sisters that I've told them they're gonna be my big sister until then they're gonna have to agree. So it's the idea that you don't necessarily have to have someone that'll say yes. But if you just look up to them and you follow what they say, and if you, like Kasma said, if you wanna just slide in their DM and say, hey, you got a quick 15 minutes, I'm quick to jump on the phone. Like, I will jump on the phone, and people are like, oh my gosh, you're actually talking to me. Yes, I will jump on the phone if you need a quick question answered, because it's, we gotta help each other.
This is one of the few things I can speak to. Another piece of advice that I would give is to actually look at what free information or available information that mentor or the desired mentor has that's out there. Troy, of course, the founder of Course Careers, he was telling me when he found out that Hillman was going to be at the event, he was like, yo, I've read Hillman's books. He was saying how Hillman was the reason that he ended up getting in tech sales. He was saying through studying Hillman's resources. He was like, man, I have so many questions for him. And we ended up having a conversation based off of that about the importance of actually leveraging the resources that person that you want to mentor you already has. I gotta tell you how many times, and I'm sure you all can attest to this as well, how often that people come up to me and they're like, man, Cyrus, especially in the DMs, they're like, yo, you know, can you mentor me? Or they'll start asking a bunch of questions, and I'm like, okay, well, you want me to mentor you, but all the questions you're asking me, I freely have this information on the podcast. Yeah. And to make it even more granular, we have clips. You can literally type in the question that you're asking me and then put Tech is the New Black, and we have a dedicated video that answers that. So I'm like, okay, you're asking for mentorship, but all of the stuff that you want from me is already there. Maybe first check out the free resources, the free information, so that way then you can come with more educated questions. Oftentimes, I'll say 9 times out of 10, I can't tell you how many times people come to me and they say, yeah, you know what? I was gonna ask you a bunch of questions, but I actually saw all the answers on the podcast. There have been times people DM me, they would say, yo, I broke into tech. I'll look at the DM and realize, oh snap, you DM'd me a year ago with a bunch of questions. I didn't see it. I'm just now seeing your DMs and or seeing your response, and I'm seeing you broke into tech anyway. And I'll message the person back and say, yo, I'm so sorry. I wasn't trying to miss your DMs. Congratulations on getting into tech. How are you able to do it? And they'll say, yeah, I saw you didn't see my DMs from a year ago. I kept asking questions. You didn't see them. They're like, but I decided to just look at your YouTube and look at this and look at that. And I realized I could get all the information there. And I use that information. And now I'm in the industry. So oftentimes, many times, what allows the person to want to mentor you is when they see, wow, you've looked into the information I have out there. Okay, you take this serious. So now that I see that you've invested, you're taking this serious, now I'm willing to invest more of my time and my energy into you.
There's a very ugly trend happening right now in the recruitment space, and that is ghosting.
Oh, hell.
So if you could kind of give some insight into why it's happening and what you all are doing in your space to prevent it from happening. Because I'm sure everybody in this room has probably experienced it once.
So have we. You'd be surprised.
I had a recruiter reach out to me. He reached out to me. It was like, oh, we want you really bad. I applied. And then it was like ghost. I was like, what? How that work? How you shoot your shot at me? I ain't even want you. You wanted me.
You want to start?
Feel like my toes been stepped on.
Nah, I mean, I'm gonna keep it 100 with you. So just speaking very personally, so I recruit for a couple of different startups. It's never personal. That's what I want to say, but it's a lot.
Oh, and it ain't you. It's me. That's what you're saying.
Well, let's start with a couple of just facts, okay? One, if you've been ghosted, don't worry, you didn't get the job. Don't worry about it. Like real talk, like don't count
you
that.
You don't need closure.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's what bothers me sometimes. Like I applied, I didn't hear back. I didn't. Oh, all right. Well, what happened when you didn't hear back? No answer is the answer. So don't take that so personal. I try my best. Like I try all types of different notifications and alerts and stuff like that. But you have to think about it. I don't know how many jobs you may apply to or what your volume looks like. But I'm literally, you know, juggling, you know, 50 plus candidates, and it's a lot. It's a lot. And then the ones that the hiring team's interested in gets the most of my attention and priority. I have to make sure they're engaged, make sure I'm pushing them forward. And so, and a way to prevent ghosting is to be a standout candidate, like to be a very high value and make sure that, you know, your presence and your impact was felt in that initial conversation. And also, like, there's nothing wrong with following up. I think, again, like, take a step back from this. It is not, don't take it so personally. Like, this recruiter is not intentionally saying, nah, I ain't gonna answer you. I saw it, but nope. Like it's promised you, it's not happening like that. The recruiter might be on vacation. The recruiter might, might, I don't know, appendix burst. I don't know. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like these things are happening. You know what I'm saying? Like these things are happening. There are actual lives going on, and it's just sometimes like things just kind of get lost. But that's why I say there's nothing wrong with like those weekly check-ins.
and just keep them cordial. Like, I think what bothers me, honestly, like, people have gotten downright nasty. Like, oh, I mean, call me all kind of stuff. I just laugh. I'm like, what? Like, you? So you think you're gonna get an interview now? like, you thought that was the point of this?
Yes.
And so, like, just keep it very cordial. Like, hey, I have a, and make it sound like you're busy too. Hey, I'm entertaining a couple other opportunities. Mm-hmm. Just want to know if I'm still, you know, in the running for this. Let me know either way. Like, just keep it real short and simple, and then hopefully they'll get back and be like, hey, sorry, some things came up. Sometimes they don't have anything to come back to you with because the hiring team is stuck. Mm-hmm. They're spinning. Like, they're trying to figure out a budget. They don't know if they're actually going to hire this, or they may be considering filling it internally. Like, I'm telling you, like, there are just so many different things going on behind the scenes. My advice is just don't even, that shouldn't be something that you're so concerned about. Like,
right.
Be concerned about the opportunities that are actually you're engaged with, that you're in the running for. And you can keep a running tab of those companies that you like that maybe you haven't heard back from, and just kind of do some pulse checks and see what's going on. But I just wouldn't let it, you know, don't let it take up so much energy is kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, what Nate said. no, but we're human. It's gonna happen. And half of the time we are really waiting on the hiring managers to give us feedback if we can even interview or make an offer. Don't be afraid to check in, because it happens. I know I get at least 150 applications every 3 hours, so you can only imagine trying to reach out to every single candidate. And if I do reach out and you don't hear nothing back, like, give me a call, send me an email. I promise you, like, I'm not trying to ignore you. It's just a lot that goes on behind the scenes. So yeah, just reach out. Don't be afraid. I'm sorry.
So where I think the discrepancy lies with ghosting is, what do you define as ghosting, right? Because for me, if I'm not your recruiter, I ain't ghost you. I just didn't answer you, right? So I say it this way because I put up a post the other day where I put at the top, if y'all saw this, y'all saw advice to recruiters, be the recruiter you would need as a candidate. Someone who had applied to one of the jobs that I posted commented, and it's still there, I ain't taking it down, so if y'all want to see it, go ahead. Commented and said, are you that recruiter?
And I checked them.
Thank you, right? Because I saw the comment where somebody said, yes, she is, right? He then DM'd me and said, I asked you that on your comment because you didn't respond to my DM when I told you I applied for the job and you didn't give me a response. You're still not going to get a response, right? So it's going back to what Nate said. Now I'm really not responding, and I'm not recommending you now, right? Because then the hiring leader, what y'all don't know is the hiring leaders will ask us before they make a decision, how were they in the initial stages of this application process? How were they with you? I've had that countless times. So you think I'm going to recommend, I don't care how many skills you have, you think I'm going to recommend you to a hiring leader when you don't even embody my company culture?
Yeah.
Bruh, tried it. So for me, it's how do you define ghosting? Because if you've now, for some reason, randomly, mentally adopted me as your recruiter, I've ghosted you because you've adopted me without me knowing that I've become your recruiter, right? The idea is, if we built a relationship and I'm constantly messaging you and then all of a sudden I go ghost, that's ghosting. Right? Follow up, because y'all can tell we get a lot of messages, so it's not intentional. In addition to that, if I've never responded, I ain't ghost you.
Yeah. Right.
I just ain't respond because I ain't see it. So I would say that. In addition to that, I've had people come to me and say, I've gotten ghosted after saying I was going to get an offer. And then all of a sudden, nobody said anything. Right?
Right.
And that is wrong. Yes. That's wrong. Yes. I want to validate, however, if any of you experience that is wrong. Mm-hmm. Right? So, but that also tells you if you want to work for that company.
Yep.
Right. Now, not to say that the company itself is embodying that, because companies don't always hire the best people. We know that, right? But it's if you have recruiters who do that with that company, it's, unfortunately, I may not want to work with this company because this person showed me that they're not embodying your company culture either. If the right person finds out, the right person will correct the person who was wrong to you and want to give you a better experience.
Yep.
So one thing, Taylor, this screen is kind of off. Okay, cool.
It was online. Oh,
they can't see anything?
We can't see nothing.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so we can adjust that. Thank you, Aja. And also, so we're going to wrap it up with these three questions that we have up here, the three people that we have up here. For the sake of time, we can just have one person answer the question. So y'all going to have to fight each other, not fight me. But just have one person answer the question. And also, when y'all come up here, y'all have been doing this already, but I at least want us to continue with this. If you can say your name and either what you do in tech or what you're interested in doing.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Tayo. I'm a cloud engineer, and I'm also a mentor that teaches people how to make $130,000 or above as a cloud engineer. And my question is going to be for kind of tailored towards people who's looking for a job here, and then also my students. But if someone was to reach out to you through LinkedIn, what are some of the different types of messages that you've received in the past? From people that in your head make this person a high value candidate for a potential job opportunity? Yeah, so like for example, like I kind of teach my mentees, you know, if you're reaching out to a recruiter, you should, you know, introduce yourself, highlight the skills that's correlated to a specific job description, and maybe even show some different projects or just highlight some things that you've done to, you know, match your skill set to the job description. So any ideas, anything you can add?
What stands out to me when someone reaches out is it makes it easy for me to really connect the dots of what's going on here. As Shanae mentioned earlier, if you just reach out just randomly with nothing, hey, I need a job, that's not gonna get it. And so if you're coming to me specifically because you've seen I posted an opening for what I'm hiring for, you feel like you're qualified. So you say, hey, Nate, saw your post, very interested in the role. I think I'll be a great fit. Here's why, boom, boom, boom. Give me, you know, two or three bullets. Here's my resume. Here's my Calendly link. I would love to connect. Oh my God. Like, yeah, like let's go. Like, yeah, like this is great. Like you just took out all the thinking for me. Like I see why you're qualified. I know how to get in contact with you. And then here's a full resume that I can share with my team. And so you've sort of removed all those barriers, right? Like I don't necessarily have a lot of back and forth with you. And if you are piquing my interest, I can just schedule some time and we can just get things moving.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a great way to the last fellow's point of preventing the ghost. Sometimes it's just, I'm tired of going back and forth. Like, you know, you sent me some times, I told you no, and then you sent me two more times. Then you asked me, can we talk Saturday morning? And, I mean, it's just getting kind of crazy. And it's just like, okay, I got a couple other candidates I can move forward with.
Yeah.
And so if you come to me like very professional, very detailed, telling me why you're a fit, I think that will land well with any recruiter.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yo, great question and phenomenal answer, Nate. Yeah.
Hi everyone. My name is Angie. I am a travel immersed room nurse and a detox nurse.
Oh, yeah, you my girl.
So this question is for you. I know everybody needs a nurse. Human told me yesterday, but my question is, I'm burnt out. Bedside is a thing, that's all I know for the last 13 years. What is your advice to me? Because I have put open to work on there, but I don't know quite what the language or the trigger words I need in order for me to land and pivot into tech.
So you're currently in healthcare and want to pivot into tech?
Yes.
Okay, what type of tech roles? Let me ask that. What type of tech roles are you looking for?
I'm open because I don't know. That's why I'm here for the language.
Have you ever thought about consulting? Okay, so I would definitely do some research around that. I have a few nurses who work in the emergency room and outpatient who has literally transitioned into town development or consulting. Because you're talking to patients, you're talking to the physicians. That is something that you can definitely pivot into. So I would definitely do some research around that. And if you want to connect and talk more about details, yeah, we can do that. I got you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Leora. And I am a project manager slash scrum master. And I guess I could label this as tomfoolery, if you will. I wanted to get your take on, because I already had the conversation with Nate, but because I have her here on the panel, I wanted to get your take on these companies that are posting these fake jobs. You go as far as having the whole interview process, and at the end of the interview, they're like, I would hire you if I was hiring.
So it's a scam.
It's definitely.
Well, it's. I don't want to say it's a scam because it's the actual real company. They are posting the jobs, but they're posting these jobs. They're doing, having these applicants apply, but they're gathering the data for research purposes. So these people are applying for, based on false hope. So it's, it doesn't matter if it's LinkedIn that they're applying to directly or either way the case may be. But I mean, at the end of the day, you can't really decide what's real and what's fake. You still have to apply every day and hope that you do get, you know, some sort of, you know, traction. I just want to get your input if you guys have experience that have heard anything from any of your colleagues or anything like that.
I've heard about phantom jobs. I've heard a variety of things like that, but I never heard someone that actually experienced it break it down. That's interesting.
So I've sort of heard of that. So a few things I would ask first. I would ask, so I actually wrote another template. My template is called, Are You a Scammer? Right? I wrote 5 different questions that you can ask based on if this is a scam or not, or if this is a real thing. So if you ask those questions based on how they answer, you can tell whether you're going for a real job or not. Because I started to find that people were DMing me and asking me about certain questions. I had a young man send me an offer letter with the letterhead and everything. And I was like, how did you get an offer you never interviewed? And he was about to accept this offer. He was so excited and he was about to accept this offer. I'm like, hold up, bro, slow down. Yep. Slow your roll. How did you get an offer letter when you ain't never talking about it? And so he was like, dang, like, I ain't even thinking about that. I'm like, I understand you're excited, but come on, common sense. Like, come on. Because I don't want y'all to be giving get information on your I-9s and all of that. You giving sensitive information now, your identity is stolen. I don't want none of that. So to your question, one of the things that I found is there are certain questions that you can ask even in the like recruiter screening part or the very beginning stages of the interviewing process, right? If those questions or answers that they're giving you don't make sense, stop, right? I would do that whether the job was real or not.
Can you give one or two examples?
Yeah, so let's say for example, I had something happen like this. So I had a situation where I was working with a candidate, another recruiter was working with a candidate, and the candidate asked like what the salary band was for the particular role. This was before pay transparency was written into law, right? So you have Colorado, California, New York, and then Maryland just adopted it and it's going to take effect in October. So, and then a few other states. So this one candidate asked what the pay band was for the particular role, so the recruiter wouldn't share it. Now, at this point, I'll give you another example, but for this example, she was at the offer stage. So I'm thinking like, why would you not tell her what the pay band is? She's at the offer stage. You're trying to land her, she's black. And she a woman, come on. Like, so I'm like, I don't understand. So same scenario where he was offering one, I might have been offering one, and I'm trying to help land her, right? At this point, I've stepped in to help my colleague, right? So the recruiter was like, well, I don't want to share the pay band because the hiring manager told me not to share it. And I'm like, but you're trying to make her an offer. I don't understand.
Yeah,
so what I did was I stepped in and I shared the pay band because it's not a secret. Yeah. Like, I don't understand. So this is not confidential information. This is something we can actually share. So she ended up not coming because of the lack of transparency that she experienced, right? On the flip side of that, at the early stages, some of the questions that you can ask are, how long has this job been open? Is this a backfill? Tell me specifically above and beyond what the job description says, what the hiring manager is looking for, right? If the recruiter can't speak to that, that's a problem. Yeah. Because we have to have those conversations in our rec strategy meetings or our intake meetings. Different companies call them different things. So ask those specific questions. Other questions that you want to ask recruiters are, what's the team like? There are many times where I can't answer that question because I'm not on the team, so it is hard to answer specifically, this is the day-to-day of the team. So I started to ask my hiring leaders, tell me the day-to-day of what an engineer or a product manager, whoever the person is, what's the day-to-day like in the role so I can explain this to the candidate? Because the candidate is going to ask, and I need to be able to answer it. And they'll write me a synopsis above and beyond what the job description may actually ask, may actually explain. In addition to that, you can also ask, even if you get to the interview and you still don't realize that this is a fake job, you can ask questions like, and I've written this again in the template, tell me what on my resume made you want to interview me. Even if the job is real or not, if they can't tell you exactly what they saw on your resume, you don't want to work for them. Because they're not really doing their due diligence in your skill set. They may just want to meet a diversity number. Right? So I actually asked those questions in my interview to understand what it was that my interviewers were asking. My interviewer actually told me what he saw on my resume. I was like, oh, bet, you actually looked at my resume. Great. And I only say this because while, again, not speaking for my company, but I've actually had people come in my DM and say, I feel like I'm a diversity hire. Like, or I feel like they're just trying to meet a metric. And I'll say, just ask this question. Have that conversation. Those are just some of the questions that you can ask.
That's good. And I feel one other thing that you highlighted in that statement is also just providing a list of questions to ask. Y'all know oftentimes in interviews, most interviews, they ask, you know, hey, what questions do you have for us? And so I love how you not only provided some questions that people could ask, but also further displayed the level of confidence that we can have when approaching recruiters or during the interviewing process. So thank you so much. Look, y'all please give a round of applause. All right, everyone. So you said you got a question.
Quick question. So how can we connect with y'all? Like what websites, roles, plus looking for jobs, and things like that. How do we connect with y'all?
Yeah. So if you could all do that, for those that are, well, I guess you all can do that. But also, when all of this drops on social media, we'll make sure that all of your information is listed there as well, just as a heads up.
So you can follow me on LinkedIn. My name is C-H-E-N-A-E. Last name is Erkert, E-R-K-E-R-D. It is not Eckert. I don't know where y'all get the C from in my last name, but it is E-R-K-E-R-D. On Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, just type in at Recruiter Cousin and you'll find me.
LinkedIn and Instagram, Kasmin with a C, not a K, C-A-S-M-I-N-E. Last name is Mitchell, M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L, or hashtag Recruiter Guru.
Y'all professionals. Y'all get ready. So on LinkedIn, I'm Nate Wiley. Wiley spelled W-Y-L-I-E. And on Instagram, it's Career Hacker Nate.
Yo, thank y'all so much. I really appreciate y'all.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.